Yeah, talking about liquidiv.com, promo code Nooners at checkout. You see us drinking it on the show every single day. Where would we be, Japes, without Liquid IV in our lives?
Dehydrated, we'd have headaches, we'd be tired, yeah. Exhausted.
Yep.
Not be able to get through the day, get through work, we'd be sick all the time.
I'd be hungover. Every single day. Love the Liquid IV. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks out there, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. It's just a little tiny stick full of powder. Pop it in 16 ounces of water. You're good to go. What you reckon, Jabes? Double or triple hydrated?
I would say double.
Oh, I'd say triple.
What?
Nay, I'll say triple today. Huge fan of Liquid IV. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. With Liquid IV, get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code Nooners at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Nooners at liquidiv.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution! Brought to you by BlackRifleCoffee.com. YouTube songs are stuck in my head. How about you? How about you, Jabes?
I love it. I love just the nondescript, non sequitur.
YouTube songs.
YouTube songs specifically for surfing, skateboarding.
Dude Perfect.
Dude Perfect. It's just, you can.
Any action sports that they have, any action sports channel they
yes.
have on YouTube, it's the same songs that are, they sound the same, but there's different words and they never go anywhere.
Mm-mm.
They never reach anything.
Yeah.
We have a child, a young boy, and he likes to watch surfing videos on YouTube. And hearing all of those songs back to back for hours and hours and hours. We're almost to the mountaintop. We can see the end. My feet are on the cliff and I am fighting for my freedom. And you're just like, wait, what? They never really go anywhere. You were singing one earlier.
Oh yeah, no. I've been into this kind of songwriting for a while.
Give the audience a little taste.
I wrote a song a while ago called "Step to the Edge."
Sure.
Because you're just always, you step to the edge and the mountain is high and the fire is flaming.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real good.
A lot of like, yeah, a lot of, you don't, the melody, not so much. It's more like the words. Are you a victim or witness to your life?
Yeah.
You know, just like things that they've heard like
yeah.
throughout their life, and they'll make it like the hardcore chorus.
It's almost
you
like,
reap what you sow
yeah,
in
yeah.
the end of the down to the river, went down to the river.
Yeah, a lot of going down to the rivers, a lot of stepping to the edge.
Stepping to the edge, lots of fire, going through the flames, making it through the flames,
yeah.
And now I'm here.
On the other side.
I was a victim, and now I'm a witness.
Yeah, oh yeah.
There's other things, like, those aren't the only options. There's also, like, are you the perpetrator of your life?
Oh yeah.
Are you the attorney? Are you the lawyer
yeah.
of your life?
Yeah.
It's not just witness or victim.
I feel like we're flying too close to the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a victim of your circumstance. But I'm fighting harder to find the way out. But the way out is closed. I'm so close to the light, the dark's chasing in, and I need to explode, or I won't fucking win.
And you're just like, dude, are you going somewhere? Are you actually going to win something or change your life? Or they don't ever give an explanation at the end. I don't like songs without a button at the end where they don't just button it up and just say, hey, man, won. We fought hard. We were under pressure or drug abuse, child abuse, whatever it was. And then we won. We did something about it in the end.
Well, typically there's...
They never go anywhere. It just goes up and up and up and up. And there's no down.
There's a chorus that's like the main point, right?
Yeah.
And then the verses kind of explain that point.
Okay.
That's usually how it goes.
Yeah.
These songs, it's just like a bunch of choruses strung together.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
No, it does.
So like walking through the fire, like that should be your main like thing, but you're walking right to the fire to get to the mountain, to step to the edge and go down to the river.
Right.
And then at the river, you're going to walk through the river and make it to the other side. And you're going to be a witness or a victim of your life.
Sure.
And it's just a stream of consciousness about almost making it through.
But they
some
never
kind
make
of
it
natural
through.
Disaster, yeah.
I feel like the videos themselves, the people in there make it through, and they conquer whatever they're supposed to conquer. But I feel like the singers of the YouTube songs never do. And
they never make it.
That's disheartening to me.
They're always stepping to the edge.
Well, let's face it. You've got to step to the edge to conquer your dreams in this life. Before the dragon swoop in.
And you reap what you sow.
Yeah. A lot of reaping what you sow.
And a penny saved and, yeah, you know.
And a penny saved is a penny earned.
In the bush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't watch YouTube videos, this conversation makes zero sense to you whatsoever.
No, I think if you like metal... too. There's a,
but it's not metal.
There's an S.
That's the difference. So it's like, it's in between Blink 182 and like, I don't want to say Smash Mouth because I don't want to demean it either.
Smash Mouth. I know.
But it's between a Blink 182 and almost like a Sublime. It's not harder than a Sublime. So you're not really going into metal. But it also feels like a hard Christian rock.
Right.
Because there's no swearing in it.
There's no swearing because it needs to be on YouTube.
Right. So I almost feel like it's Christian rock where it's, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
for sure. A lot of
sure. Believing
in yourself and then Jesus and, you know, things like that. Like it all seems like code for talk to Jesus about whatever you're doing.
Yeah. Like step to the edge.
I don't know. Like is Jesus at the edge? Like that's because now.
Well, you'll find out. That's what I'm saying. When you step to the edge and you look over, you're going to find.
You're going to find out what you're looking for.
What you're looking for and what you need to take that next step to fly
right
over the flames and into the river.
Sure. But with that, I take all of those as Jesus metaphors.
Sure.
So look, either way, I don't think I'm going to make it, you know?
Right.
I know they are. But like me as a person, if I was just listening to those songs on my own, with no visuals next to it. Let's just say they popped up on my iPod. My whole phone went down, melted, and there was one playlist left, and it was just called YouTube songs.
Oh, my God.
And I had no visual reference, and I was at the gym. I would be frustrated. I feel like I'd be on the treadmill for hours with no results just because I don't know the end of what happens
to
these people.
Yeah. So there's no inspiring like thing. It's more just like a very like blue ball situation where you're just like almost getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just want, if you're out there and you're a YouTube musician, just give me a fucking ending. Just one of these songs, just give me a fucking ending at the end where either they live or they die. They accomplish their dreams or they don't accomplish their dreams. But either way, I want a resolution to what's going on.
They learn something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care about what you learned. I care about the results. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So just give me results, YouTube singers, of what happens to these people and these fictional tales and their hopes and dreams and all that stuff. Like I need an answer to it. So just end it with, you know, you won the championship. You fucking did. You know, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
I like, just give me one answer to go to feel safe at night for.
Sure.
Or maybe they do it on purpose. So we just keep watching the videos.
Yeah, I don't know if it's an on purpose thing or if it's just that, you know, how bright these skater bros are, and
I don't know
the things that they think about, and they really do just regurgitate like sayings that they've heard, and you know, and they put it to a three chord hard beat, and yeah, there you go.
Because here's the weird thing about YouTube that I find is every cable network or whatever you have, Dish, DirecTV, fucking Time Warner, or the 90th company that bought Time Warner, all that stuff, they now include YouTube on it. So you don't have to use an Apple TV or like a Roku or an app, Fire Stick or anything. It's on there, including ours. And when that happened, they also started just automatically playing videos afterwards. So like if you sit your kid down in front of, you know, a surfing video and you're like, oh, cool, 8 minutes. And then you run past the 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. It'll take you down another whole hallway full of surfing videos or whatever.
Yeah.
Same with music videos, which music videos is kind of dangerous. Like the surfing one's cool. They're great. It's just beautiful shots of surfing. Ton of GoPro footage and you're good to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nothing.
Music videos, though, you can really go down something dark. I remember you and I were recording a show and our child was watching, you know, music videos or whatever. And it was just, we put it on like a band. And I think it was like Queen. Like there's no swearing in it or whatever.
Right. And he loves it.
He loves Freddie Mercury and Queen, which great. I'm glad because Freddie Mercury is a beast and that's the way it should be.
What does he call that one song?
Big Disgrace. We Will Rock You, obviously.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Sit him down for that in front of the Queen channel.
Sure.
Is what it was called.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah. Cause you can watch the videos and all that stuff.
It's supposed to have like 50 plus of like Queen related.
We ran over maybe like 15 minutes, 18 minutes, whatever it was. We come down and for whatever reason, Thriller was connected after all the Queen songs. So
right.
It was, look, if you, everybody's seen the Thriller video at this point, I would imagine in their life, it's scary as shit for a child. And I was like, oh man, why were these connected?
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out how Queen was connected to Michael Jackson, but
exactly. And I definitely remember being scared of Thriller.
Oh, when I was a child, absolutely. Yes. Same.
So to me, but he was fine and continues to sleep in his bed and all of that. But I was like, dude, that one,
yeah,
that was haunting for sure.
I was young. I was like a very small child, and I was at a family reunion, which we don't do at all. I think it was like once in the history of our family we did one. And
right. You're very specific if you do family reunions like every year. All the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were in a basement, like the kids were in a basement, whatever. And like a Thriller video popped on and it was just like frightened. Every child was frightened. And no, you know, nobody had seen it and was just like, what the fuck? Oh,
good job.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
Glad we got the family together. And you know, there's benefits to these audio shows. We get real. Real loose.
We
play loose, fast and loose.
Yeah. Speaking of fast and loose, I want to talk to you about this Queen thing since I brought it up. I saw an interview with Sacha Baron Cohen on Stern the other day.
Okay.
He was promoting
the show.
Yeah, that show on it. Yeah. I forget the name of the show. Nobody's watching it.
No one's watching it. They're just watching clips of it.
So he was on Howard Stern. That's what I love about Howard Stern. Like when you're that famous and you're Howard Stern, you ask whatever you want, and you don't give a fuck because the guest isn't going anywhere. There's sometimes, by the way, for our listeners out there, there's sometimes on Drinking Bros and Ross Patterson Revolution. That I really want to push people and ask some fucked up shit, but I can't because I know I'm not famous enough that they'll walk out.
Right.
Where Stern is at the level, and this is the level I hope to be at someday, Stern is at the level where you ask the questions and fuck off. I'm getting the answers because you're not walking, because if you walk out on Stern, then you're a bitch.
You're the guy that walked out on Stern.
And you're a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
So he started pressing him about this Queen movie.
Okay.
And we told this story on the podcast how it was originally supposed to be Sacha Baron Cohen playing Freddie Mercury. And
he was like preparing you guys to the point where he's like going to sing everything.
Oh, yeah. And he's, so he said this on the show. He goes, 6 years. 6 years they worked on this or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Because he was going to go for it.
This was his Oscar movie, in my opinion, I think. And he was lost way. I mean, he put everything into this goddamn thing. And then Howard Stern was like, well, how did it fall apart? And he goes, Sacha Baron Cohen was like, well, you know, some of the band had a different idea of how this movie was going to go. And he goes, was it the band itself or somebody in particular? And he was like, somebody in particular. And I guess Stern's like, who was it?
Oh my God.
Sacha Baron Cohen's like, I don't want to say his name or whatever. And then Stern was like, was it this guy? Was it this fucking guy?
Mm-hmm.
And then Sacha Baron Cohen finally opened up and was like, all right, yeah, it was that
what
fucking guy.
What does he care at this point? You know, they completely.
You know, the movie's coming out in November. They recast with Romany. Mr. Robot.
Rami Malek.
Yeah, I can't get that. I can never get that guy's name right. I just call him Mr. Robot.
Sure.
Who's good. Weird guy. I saw him on a Stephen Colbert the other night. Super weird guy, but he's a great actor, and I like Mr. Robot, and I think he'll be great in this. And I think if you come out now and start trashing it so close to the release date, then it looks like you're just, you know, sour grapes asshole who...
Bitter, yeah.
Yeah,
but he did go through a lot. So what happened?
A lot of time. So he goes through this and he sits down with this guy and Queen. And I want to say Brian's his name, but I don't know any members of Queen except for Freddie Mercury.
Exactly. So fuck up, other members of Queen.
And this is what Stern said too. So and he goes, so he reads this script that Sacha Baron Cohen comes up with, because it was he was pressing him on what Sacha Baron Cohen was going to do this. He's like, Freddie Mercury was fucking wild. And he's like, what kind of wild? And he was like, I'm talking like midgets with trays of cocaine on their head at his party. Like, shit was wild at these parties. And he goes, I really wanted to tell this story. And there's one part in the script that this guy, the guitarist or whoever it was, and Queen was just like, I like this part right here. I want to put this part right here. He's like, which part is that? That's where Freddie dies. And he goes, yeah, you know, whatever. It's where Freddie dies. And he goes, oh, okay. So, like, you know, you want him to die in the middle of the movie, kind of like a Pulp Fiction thing. And then we're just kind of flashing back and then getting to the end of it. You know, like, that's what you mean? Mm-hmm. And he goes, no,
mm-hmm.
no. I like that the band has to struggle to figure out a way to carry on after Freddie dies.
What did I tell you?
And Sacha Baron Cohen was just—he was fucking dumbfounded. He was just like, the entire band is Freddie Mercury. Like, no one gives a fuck about the rest of Queen. It's just Freddie Mercury. And I was surprised to hear that. Where I was just like, man. Now thinking about it, if that's what this movie is, people are going to be fucking pissed off.
Well, I told you that people are pissed off already because it's stuff like this has leaked in the industry. So like when you hear like podcasts with people that are like kind of deep in it and are hearing rumblings,
right?
That's what they're hearing. And I'm sure that story, Sacha Baron Cohen's story, is out in certain circles. So the idea is that if they really did go the direction that made him quit, then people are going to be pissed.
Because I'm going to go see it opening night. Look, I love Freddie Mercury. We have talked about him numerous times on this show. I will go see it opening night. If that's what happens, I'm going to be fucking angry.
Pissed.
I'll do a show that night.
Oh, pissed.
After I get out of the theater.
And again, like I told you, they're not really like going into like him being gay or having AIDS. They're just saying that like he got sick, and not even behind closed doors. Like they're literally making it like, oh, he gets sick, blah, blah, blah. He's out and we're going to have to carry on. Like, how do we as a band like come back
right
from this amazing force, which nobody wants to see that. Like, no. I want to see only Freddie Mercury's story.
I don't know. And to be honest, I don't know what Queen did after Freddie Mercury died. I have no idea.
It doesn't fucking matter. That's why. Like, it does not matter. They play fairgrounds. Cool.
Yeah.
You don't have Freddie Mercury. Therefore, I have no interest in seeing you.
Yeah. 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 It's kind of like the Beastie Boys to me. Like when Adam Yauch died, they were like, we're done. The group is over and we're not doing
Beastie
this
Boys.
Anymore.
And he was like a really big force in that.
All three of them were great. All three of them I thought were equal. And yes, I don't do it without him. They could rap his parts, but like that would be shitty. So Look, I'm happy that they didn't, but
the other thing with Rami Malek is like, you know, he's already the skinny, he's lip syncing the whole thing, which do what you got to do. But the new, the thing people are doing now is like, you got to sing. You got to figure it out. Oh, I know it's Queen. I know, Freddie Mercury.
I actually have a different story on this. So there is a lot of the actors want to sing. It's not necessarily that it's not the actor. So it could be the band itself. Take Ray Charles. That was the biggest example was Ray Charles. Their family said, look, if you want to play Ray Charles, all of his songs. And it's going to be the real songs. And Jamie Foxx was like, hey, man, I already sing like Ray Charles. Like, I already do this impression golden. And they were like, but the family was adamant that, no, you've got to play this. So I wonder if Queen said, hey, you've got to lip sync this song. I don't know. I don't know.
I just hate, that's just, it takes me out of it.
Because when you watch, if you go back and watch Ray, which is one of my favorite movies, the parts where Jamie Foxx is playing Ray, like, you know, singing in a hotel room or coming up riffs or beats or whatever, he's really singing and he really sounds like Ray Charles. And you're like, fuck, all right, why didn't they just do that? Yeah. But it was the family that said no. So I don't know.
Okay.
We'll find out. Shit, man. Again, we go hard right off the get-go and we got sponsors. People usually do sponsors at the top of a show, but we just chat. Let's get to it, shall we? We'll get to the sponsors. We got a big show. First and foremost, we're talking about when darkness falls, he doesn't catch it. We are 8 days away.
Whoa.
8 days away.
8 days away.
From the sequel to At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed coming out. Man, I am. You ready for the number?
Oh my gosh, I don't know.
I'm about 1,100 copies away from the bestseller list. Eight days away. But the week that it comes out counts as well. So, like, I hope there's people that are waiting for. Like, hey, you buy it on, you know, because Amazon's delivering it, what, in 48 hours, whatever the fuck it is. But if you pre-order it, they're delivering it to you on the day. All of these pre-orders count towards the bestseller list. After the first week of sales is over, it starts over again, and you can't achieve that number anymore. So if you have not pre-ordered When Darkness Falls, it doesn't catch it. Please
do. What
do
you think?
Can go to Amazon.com, go to BarnesandNoble.com. I hope so.
Do we just give up now, guys?
No.
We do not.
Can't work because we're so fucking close.
Oh,
like,
I don't know.
God bless it. We're right there. Right on the edge of glory.
It's like a small number compared to like how many we've sold, but it's like such a big number too.
Look, here's the thing. We have a shit ton of listeners. If just everybody, like, I've never physically asked you to buy anything on this show,
but a lot of people have. Like, we have to be like
100%, and I'm like, fucking amped. Like, people are it's spending. Been amazing. Yeah, it's 20 bucks.
Yeah.
Go to Amazon. If you listen to the show, look, we have so many listeners. Just buy this copy, and then you'll be good. I'll never fucking bring it up again.
And that's the main thing, I think. I think people are actually just going to throw it in the trash. But what they want is for you to stop talking about it. No, it's at the very least, you're going to put it somewhere because it's like a gorgeous looking book. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Funny cover. Like, you're at least going to put it in your bathroom. It's a great
conversation starter. Yeah. Put it on the fucking top of the bowl.
Dude, I actually see a lot of people. Don't you get a lot of pictures of people with the pot pictures of while he rides his steed?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's like a thing,
I think. I feel like every guy has this in the bathroom. And like, everybody will tell you too, man. You can go on and read the reviews. It really is the funniest book ever written. It's just simply for the fact of, you cannot get away with writing shit like this anymore. That is so non-PC that it's just like, I mean, it would make people's eyes melt. So look, I want this to go down. It would certainly be a shock to the fucking system. And in the time that we're living in right now, it would be great to see because look, comedy's fucking dying and everything else is, you know, people comedically is like, dying just because everything is so fucking watered down. This is not. So go out and buy it and help me achieve it. Because if this hits the bestseller list, then it's a good fuck you to the world.
Dude, it's on, you guys.
It's on. Next up,
free movies. Give them to you for free.
I know. That's all I want to do. Next up, we got BlackRifleCoffee.com. They are our chief sponsor for Evolve 2018. Look, you're hearing these on all your other favorite podcasts now, too. Joe Rogan, Shapiro, everywhere. The Black Rifle Coffee is taking over the world. I'm telling you, man, when you make a coffee, when you make a product this great, and the packaging and the marketing is fucking great, it explodes. And right now they're exploding. They're, shit, man, sponsoring the UFC. They're sponsoring NASCAR, NHL. Like, they are fucking everywhere. Look, we got on the ground floor with them, and it just happens to be my best friends, and it's pretty crazy to see this trajectory. But go to BlackRifleCoffee.com and support a veteran-owned company who's truly trying to make a difference in the world and making great coffee. Their apparel is second to none. Their mugs, all of it. Use the one-time promo code of Revolution for 20% off. I would use that on the Coffee Club of the Month program where they just ship it right to your house. It'll save you time and money from going to Costco or whatever you're doing it. They've got K-cups and bags. It's about $4 cheaper than Costco. BlackRifleCoffee.com. Promo code Revolution, 20% off. Next up, we've got StrikeForceEnergy.com.
Boom, 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 shabloinkers.
Shabloinkers. Just got back from the gymnasium, and I'm gonna be realsies with you. I went hard on the Strikeforce. I went so hard on the Strikeforce that I didn't even realize I was on the treadmill that long.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. I just kind of black out sometimes. That shit's legit, man. Strikeforce, it's great for pre-workout. It's great for that afternoon crash. Or if you don't, if you don't drink coffee in the morning, fucking throw some Strikeforce in your drink. It's a tasty tiny little tin pouch. You rip it open and squeeze it into any liquid available. It's great in liquors too, liquors and beers. Fuck, you wouldn't think it, but do it. I'm telling you, man, it's great. They got a Ridge, they got orange, grape, and lemon. I got a 10-pack, a 40-pack, and a 750-milliliter bottle that rests on your bar top or countertop. So you can just boom, boom, pop a couple of squirts in and go. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com right now and type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off, and that's good every time. Next up, we've got a little Grill Your Ass Off. Dude, Grill Your Ass Off has got some new shit. This company, man. Talk about starting from the bottom. Now we're here. Quick ascent, these fucking guys. Quick ascent in the world at grillyourassoff.com. Started off with just seasonings. And their seasonings are incredible. Like, it's no different than getting like Lowry's or fucking McLaren's or I don't know who else makes them.
McLaren's?
Montreal steak seasoning. Their seasonings are amazing. We use them to cook with every single night. They got steak, chicken, pork, all that spicy habanero. Then they started doing beef jerky, and their beef jerky is fucking off the chain. I'm gassing through that shit. I just ordered some more sweet and spicy. That'll be here on Monday.
Oh,
your
boy.
Welks.
Oh boy.
But they got a 4-pack of that. It's 100% American beef. And it's got, cowboy original salt and pepper, and then that sweet and spicy in the Ridge that I like. $25. That's it. They got a subscription to the month club on that. Now they're doing fucking mugs, like beer mugs and pint glasses.
What?
And all that other shit. Yeah. T-shirts. And their shirts are dope. So they're doing it right over there at grillyourassoff.com.
Flip it.
Yep. And then,
well, you flip it, and then with the beef jerky, you rip it.
There you go. Go to grillyourassoff.com. Type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off. Yet another veteran-owned company. Last but not least is your fan favorites. Everybody waits for it, Javes. This is the big one. On YouTube, everybody who's subscribing to the YouTube channel, we greatly appreciate it because we're pushing videos. There is a gentleman who is giving you a time code for every single you write
it.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's got it narrowed down.
What a
gentleman. It's awesome. Go to the YouTube channel. It's just Ross Patterson Revolution on YouTube. And
oh my God.
We need more subscribers on there. But there's a guy who is literally putting the time code for every time you say you like it. So I'm gonna say his name. His name is Gordon Wagner.
It's probably so people can turn it down.
No, he's so every time he posts the time code on there, he says, "You're welcome" after it.
I love it.
It's great. So Gordon Wagner, shout out to you. Straightrazors.com.
Ooh, that's a clean cut. Smooth. Are you right?
Oh, boy.
Oh, do you like it?
And that ringtone is out now, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's available.
I just got an email late last night, and it just says, congratulations. Your Urykit ringtone. And it's even spelled like that. So
I'm
just
so excited.
Just type in Ross Patterson Revolution on iTunes or Android or whatever, wherever you get ringtones. And just type in Urykit.
There's no way you
really,
can keep it
really
as your
funny.
As your text tone for that long, guys. But see
so
how long you can.
You can do it, yeah.
See how long you can do it before your either significant other or anyone else that hangs out with you is like, dude,
yeah,
you can't. We can't do this
so
anymore.
So good. So fucking good. Straightrazors.com has been our day one homies. Love straightrazors.com. I use the razors. I use their aftershave every day. I use their cologne every day. Smolder. It is my fucking jam, man. It's the best in the biz. As far as a man products, dude, they got shampoo, conditioner, beard oils, mustache waxes, you name it. Go to straightrazors.com. Get a kit. They got fucking kits, dude. It'll be the nicest shaving kit you probably ever get for yourself or a loved one. Go to straightrazors.com. Type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off, and that's good every time. And that's a big savings there. Top of the show, a couple things I want to get into. There's a weird story that popped up. Over the last week, I don't know if you know this, but the original Brady Bunch house has been for sale. And you know what I'm talking about, right?
The Brady Bunch house?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been for sale. And late last night, that the house was for sale for $1.885 million. And look, they've kept it. It looks identical.
Where is this? L.A. somewhere?
Yeah, it's in L.A.
Okay. That's cool.
I want to try to figure out where that's at.
Good enough. That's cheap then, if that's in L.A.
That's what I thought. But it's not in like L.A. proper. So it's outside of it's in Studio City.
Okay.
Studio City. But when you see it, like everybody, like as soon as you say it, it's one of those houses you picture it in your mind.
I already know it.
I
can see the staircase. I can see the like kitchen.
You already know it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So people knew this was for sale. And Lance Bass of NSYNC.
Oh no.
Yeah. Was just like, I'm going to fucking buy this. I love that show. It changed my life. Like everybody
Chump
loves that show.
Change to Lance.
Totally. And so he was just like, I'm in, I'm going to buy this. And he tweeted something out on Friday night saying, holy shit, I won. And it's awesome. Like I you know, they said I was the winning bidder for the house. Mm-hmm. And I just want to let you guys know, I'm buying this to keep it preserved because inside is all the 70s decor, everything. It's in pristine condition and nobody's fucked with it. So it is still in the condition of the Brady Bunch house that we know and love.
Is it really pristine,
it is.
Though?
That's what they said.
It's not like musty.
Because, well, that's what I picture a 70s house to smell like. So if it's a little musty, it's a little musty.
Okay.
So he put a message up saying, I want you to know I'm not going to change anything. I'm not going to tear it down and I'm going to leave it there. And we're going to keep it in the condition that it's in. And hopefully people for generations who watch the show can go and visit and enjoy it and everything else. I know Lance Bass personally. I've been over to his house. Probably 10, 12 times.
What's your degree of separation?
So I did this movie, and on this movie, everyone was friends with Lance Bass. And he is like a tried and true Hollywood guy. And everybody said the same thing, that he was like the nicest guy in the world. So this one actor who I ended up doing, I think, 2 or 3 movies with, was best friends with him. And he was just like, dude, Lance is like the greatest guy on the planet and blah, blah, blah. And when we went to go do this other movie, it was at his house. And he had we did this small independent movie. One of his friends was directing and producing it. And Lance has this fucking huge mansion. Like, it is massive. And we needed this mansion for the scene for a few days. And Lance is like, just take the house, man. I'm not going to charge you. Like, that would have cost production probably $20,000 to $25,000 a day at a minimum.
A day.
And his house is so big and his driveway and everything else that you can fit like 50 cars in it. So you don't have to pay for parking either, which in production, paying for parking is super expensive. And he's just that dude who was just the nicest fucking guy on the planet. Like, so generous. I literally can't say enough nice things about Lance Bass. And I know that's fucking weird and super out there. But and he throws the most epic parties of all time. And they're always a theme. And like, he'll go.
Of course they are.
No, but he'll go all out with like photographers, fucking sure. Zebras, you name it. Like, it's awesome. Like, going to his house for a party is a blast. And so when I read that it was him buying this and he was going to keep it in the same condition, all that shit, it didn't surprise me because he's that dude. Like, he's just the nicest dude ever. And he's appreciative of everything that he has and nostalgia and history and everything else. Today, I woke up to the news that, no, somebody else came in at the last second. And allegedly, the guy that was selling it, 5 minutes before the deadline, made an offer just shy of $3 million. The realtor called and said, due to an unforeseen circumstance, another buyer came in and made a higher offer. And Lance went on social media and said, this is fucking bullshit. I bought this house. And I wanted this house. They said I had the winning bid. What he's claiming is that they use Lance Bass, this realtor, to drive up the price and then go back to other buyers and say, hey, man, look, Lance Bass is going to buy this house.
Possibly.
What do you want to do? They're not saying who this was yet, but they're saying that the other buyer was a Hollywood studio. And they said, Lance says that he was told the studio had a plan to outbid whoever won, but it was after the fact of this realtor had already said that Lance won. So he obviously feels that he was used to get the price as high as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And he's super pissed off about it because he wanted that house and whatever.
Yeah.
And his thing was, he goes, dude, I think they'll knock it down. I don't know about that because it's a Hollywood studio and I would have a hard time. I would have a hard time believing that a Hollywood studio has the time to buy this house
to
in this neighborhood and then knock
it
down.
To tear it down.
Doesn't make sense. But it'll probably be a part of some tour or you know, something else. Or
which,
God forbid, they fucking reboot the goddamn thing, which is
that'll happen at
not
some
out of the
point,
question.
At some point.
Because they're doing that with everything now.
Mm-hmm.
The latest was over the weekend was... who's the Kelsey Grammer character that he always played? Frasier?
Oh, Frasier, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
So he said he would be open to reading a script, but it's got to be great. It's got to knock his socks off.
My
bullshit.
Mom would love for that to happen.
Yeah. Wasn't the dad dead?
The dad is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think if you're doing a reboot and Frasier is the age that Kelsey Grammer is going to be, you'd assume that his father would be dead.
I guess.
So it'll be him and Pierce, the brother, right?
David Hyde Pierce. Yeah, because what's David Hyde Pierce doing? We had Riley Smith on a couple weeks ago. The weird thing I find about the timing of this is Riley was on the show. He's doing a show with Kelsey Grammer this fall on Fox. It's basically saying...
That's right.
Basically saying, hey, I kind of hope this fails so that we can just reboot Frasier and I can start getting that money.
Yeah.
That real Frasier
that
money.
Sweet,
again.
Sweet scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
Money.
Fucking Frasier, man. Kelsey Grammer was the only, he was one of two people in Hollywood that I knew of. Ryan Kavanaugh, the head of Relativity Media, was the other one who was taking helicopters from Malibu to work every day. And it was on the studio was paying for it.
Wow.
Boy.
Wouldn't you?
I mean, I would if you could do it. If you could
Who
do
else
it
does that?
And get
De Niro,
away with it.
Right?
Well, no, only on that one movie. Oh, De Niro did it on that one movie with Pacino, where it was him and Pacino. No one saw it in 50 Cent. Like,
Lord, I would do that.
They just paid him a shit ton of money and sold it overseas. But they were flying back and forth with a helicopter to Connecticut's in New York. That's what it was.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, wouldn't you? And
yeah,
Connecticut to New York is just as bad as 5 miles from Malibu. Do you know what I mean, or whatever. Like that's the same amount of driving.
You can't make that. I'll go a step further. I don't think you can make that commute every day.
You can't. I know that sounds really diva.
From Studio City to Malibu every day. No. I would guess with traffic, you're probably looking at close to 4 hours back and forth in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Dead serious.
And again, the miles.
Two hours there, not even. No, the miles is probably 18 miles away. To be honest with you,
that could be generous. Yeah. I think it's even like 10 or something. 15, 10 or 11. Maybe.
But it did happen on one of my sets. You were there. Shit, Range 15. You were there that day. We did the helicopter scene with Sean Astin, and Sean Astin is not that guy. So I want to preface this before I say the story. He's definitely not that guy who's demanding shit like that.
No.
But we had this helicopter for the day for his role, and after, because Sean Astin was cut, and so was the helicopter. So we only had the helicopter for a certain number of hours, and Sean Astin was like, hey, if you guys are leaving, can I get a ride?
How did he get to set then?
We got a car for him.
Okay, so you got car service.
Yeah.
So either way, you were paying.
He did an Ironman contest in Hawaii the day before we shot, and he was exhausted, and
for those people anyway.
Well, but he not him, because he's a nice enough guy. He was just like, hey guys, I severely underestimated how fucking hard these things are. I can't move my legs. And he was just like, I can't drive there. He's like, would you mind getting me a car? I was like, no, not at all. And when he showed up, I mean, he had blisters and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, he was in rough shape after that, sure, that thing. And he took a fucking red eye back from Hawaii to do the movie. Because the triathlon thing was in Hawaii. The strongman or Ironman would have fucking
gone. That guy's the real deal for sure. But
yeah, so anyways, yeah. I had to move on and go to the next scene because I was directing the movie. And when I moved on, I just remember looking up in the sky, and my AD was just like, that motherfucker, look at him. And I look up and the helicopter was leaving, and there's Sean Astin waving out the window to the entire casting crew. I laughed for 1,000 years at that.
Now, does that land at his house?
I don't know. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how that works.
I don't know how it works. There's got to be a pad for them to...
I don't know where he lives.
Although they landed in a field for ours, so
yeah.
I guess it's possible if you... That's so fucking cool.
It was cool.
And so, Frasier
saying that, the show he's on is Fox. Fox is in Culver City. So the Fox studio is in Culver City off Pico. From Pico to Malibu, I would say you're still probably looking at an hour in traffic each way.
God, but that's so close. Like, if you just went, like, over the hill, it's literally right there.
So I would say from the Fox studio to that Kelsey Grammer's working at now to Malibu, you're probably looking at 9 miles tops. And, you know, maybe 8.
Maybe 8. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Depending on where he lives in Malibu and where that is on Pico... right over.
And I don't think they're giving Kelsey a helicopter from Fox.
This is a very California conversation, but...
I don't think they give Kelsey a helicopter from Fox to Malibu. It's too short, I think. And
Yes.
So I think he probably wants that helicopter back and he wants to come back to Frasier. So if they reboot Frasier, if this show tanks and they reboot Frasier, you'll know why.
My gosh, I think they're going to reboot Frasier now that you're saying it.
I do too.
Like, it's a thing that I know a couple of older gals that would love it.
Well, I will say this. there is a lot of older audience members that have nothing to watch. And every year, there's a show that usually services them. I don't know what that show is, but like, you take the 80s with like Golden Girls, and even Frasier was an older audience with that guy. And, they crush in the ratings because they have nothing else. So when a show does come out for that demographic, it usually does pretty well. Same with these old men movies where it's just like, you know, Clint Eastwood, where they're fucking space
where it's like
heroes.
The Second Chance or like At It Again.
And they only make like one a year and they do well. What was the one with
On the Road Again?
What was the one with like, was it like Helen Mirren and she's like, you know, dancing or salsa dancing or something like The hotel.
Oh, the Marigold.
That's it.
Oh my. And they have a sequel to the Marigold. And
that's how well it did.
Oh yeah. Because again, my mom loved it and she's not alone.
It's not
alone. She's just in a certain demographic.
Yeah. And that's the thing with those films is, there isn't enough of them. So when they do come out, they usually do well. Same with the TV shows. So like, dude, I'll bet my sweet tits that Frasier's going to be back.
It's Complicated. Or what's the one with Jack Nicholson?
Oh, yeah. And
Diane Keaton.
Keaton, yeah.
What was it called? You used to fuck with me with that one. You want to just relax and watch a little
second time around
or whatever the fuck it's called? Here we go again. I don't know.
Stand it.
But I have a little bit of a nightmare situation for you. When I had the small studio apartment in North Hollywood.
Okay.
And my internet went out. It was out for like 3 days. So you don't
That's a long time.
No, by out, I mean maybe a bill or two didn't get.
Sure, real foggy.
It's hazy. I don't really remember why it happened for that long. But listen, either way, it wasn't my fault. You know what I mean? Either way, it wasn't my fault.
Of course not.
But I couldn't have Netflix. Like you think about like you can't watch anything. So you have a DVD player because it's back in the day.
Right.
But the only DVD I had is something that my mom left at my place, which was season 3 of Frasier.
Oof.
So that's all you have to watch.
That is brutal.
To kill someone to get on death row.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I can't take this shit anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I need better conditions.
Yeah.
It's enough to like make you go crazy because it's only season 3.
God. Is there anything worse in this world than having to watch Frasier and then only a season of it?
Only one season. Anyway,
yeah.
That's my nightmare. How about you guys? Any real nightmares out there?
Yeah. No, my real nightmare is I believe it's the Blossom theme song. That was my real nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
I know about them. I could be totally wrong on that.
I think you are, but I get the gist.
Yeah, that's my.
I think you're totally wrong.
That's
my
nightmare is the Blossom theme song, like on repeat.
Or just having to hang out with Six from Blossom. Just like
maybe she got hot. I don't know.
I don't think that was going in a hot direction.
Really?
No.
She was the hot one on that cast.
No,
we know what happened with
Six was the hot one on that cast.
She was the hot. Yeah, she was the hot one. It wasn't fucking Blossom.
She had weird body proportions, like almost like midgetry.
Whoa, that's a big call for you to make.
So when you're a younger gal, you could be like, oh, I'm just small. And then when you start getting older, it's like the arms don't grow, but the rest of the body does.
Okay.
Real stubby.
Yeah.
You know.
It frightens you. It's one of your biggest fears.
Well, you can pass off as just a small gal until you start getting older.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hear it. So,
and are you looking up a picture of Six right now?
I'm going to try to find a picture of Six. Her name is Jennifer Jean Von Oy.
And that was her first problem. In Hollywood.
She played Six. I never knew Six's last name was Lemure on Blossom.
I don't. It does. She didn't have a last name on Blossom.
Ooh, yeah, I know, but they did,
like,
I guess.
You never heard it.
Man, I want to see what she looks like now. Ooh.
Are you saying now?
Yeah, right now.
Okay.
She's fucking doing all right. She's yeah.
But is it a full body shot? Because those arms.
Man, you're right.
Those arms are a little dwarf.
You're right. I didn't know this.
Isn't
it? Shit. How did I not remember this?
Like a real, either super short legs and a long torso. Like something is off there with
Yeah.
Jesse and Ross, look at the internet.
It's not that. It's all right. So they've got some bathing suit shots of her, like currently.
Okay.
And first of all, she looks great.
Okay.
Like super fit. Where you're just like Jesus Christ. I mean, they got some bikini shots of her, but you're right. I never noticed that about the small torso and the arm. I just think that her torso is really small.
Okay.
She's a tiny gal.
She's a tiny gal.
Yeah.
But when you're a tiny gal and you have dwarfism type features and, you know, body proportions, you're right on the cusp there.
But she looks, I will say this, she looks great for her age and all of this shit. So good for her. But man, I did not know that.
Yeah.
That is really fucking strange. Why did I not know that she had a tiny torso like that?
Because it's very tiny torsos, it's very creep me subtle. Out. It's very subtle.
Tiny torsos do creep me out, though.
Really?
Yeah. There's something I don't trust about it. Or somebody with a really long torso
and shorter legs.
Yeah.
Well, now that
yeah. Because I've seen that too.
Where you're just like gorgeous proportion.
Yeah.
For me, I like a 24. 24, 24. You know what I mean? Just a cylinder. That's what I love. And a really long torso. No. Yeah. All those. Something's up with it.
I don't know. She looks great. Way to go, Six. Proud of you.
Yeah. And if you like that kind of, you like a
some people are into that.
You like a subtle dwarfism. That's cool. And that's like, it's good to know that now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
And it's so fun to find out like new things that you're into. As a person, you know, as you grow, you go, oh.
Yeah.
I guess I'm into a short torso.
Yeah.
I would not have known. Unless I looked up Six from Blossom for no reason.
I'm definitely not into Six now.
You guys heard him. Oh, all right. Looking good. Oh, she looks good.
She's looking good. But then I saw like a full body and I understand the short torso thing. Okay. And how tall is she? Like that's the...
I'm going to guess my height, to be honest, actually. Like
5'2".
5'2", I'll say. She may be a 5 footer though.
Ah, you nailed it. She's 5 feet on the dots.
5 feet on the dot.
So, which probably means she's 4'11", 4'10".
Which means you're a legal what? Midget.
Well, the legal maximum height for a midget is 4'11". Mm-hmm. So she's very, very close.
Very close. And that's where the subtle midget.
Sure.
Again, we cannot say midget. I'm sorry.
It says she's a country music singer. So,
I
don't know.
Cool?
I don't know. But she had some good gigs on here. She did Blossom from 1990 to 1995. It was a lot of seasons.
And
She did a show called The Parkers on UPN. That went 99 to 2004.
Okay.
And also said she was born. She was in Born on the 4th of July.
She was in Born in
the 4th of July. Yeah, with Tom Cruise.
I thought you were telling me that she was born.
No.
Okay. What was she?
I don't know. But she's had it. Look, she's had a great career. She's made a lot of money. I mean, fuck, if you're on 10 seasons of any sitcom, you're good.
Like, oh, yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
And then Blossom is killing it.
Boy.
I mean,
you want to talk about being in the money. My God, man.
From day one, man.
That
day
fucking,
one.
And then she, you know, she left to go to school. So it's not like she didn't get acting gigs. She just left. She said she wanted to go to college and go to school. And then to be able to leave the business for that long, go to school. And I think she got like a master's or like a PhD or something crazy too after that. And then just suddenly come back to acting and then boop, you're on the Big Bang Theory.
I mean, my God.
The money that those motherfuckers make on the Big Bang Theory would alter your mind.
But it's weird. Like to
I think
her,
she gets $750,000 a show.
To her, she must be like, this is how life is though, right? Like you do a show in the 90s, you make a shit ton of money, you go to school for a little bit, and then you come back and you get back on a show. Like she must not know the thing of like the struggling anyone.
Oof.
Right?
I just, man.
Do you know what I mean? That's like boop.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, and then I decided, you know, I had my kids and I raised them and then I decided to come back and then I just got this show.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't see why it's so hard for anyone.
Crazy. Crazy. So it says here that Parsons, Galecki, and my fave, Kaylee Cuoco, just love saying that name, Kaylee Cuoco.
Yeah.
Are each at a million an episode. They do 24 episodes in a season. And
fucking
they're wait.
Shit.
They were signed on for 3 more seasons. So you're looking at, and this is before residuals, because residuals around the world and everything else. Oh, holy God. Fucking shit. You're looking at just that one contract alone. You're looking at $72 million for 3 years at a minimum. And then your residuals on that show are probably, you can probably slap another $20, $25 million on top of that.
You're looking at the new Friends group.
How did she have such a hard time getting married? I don't understand it. I do not understand
it. Did she have a hard time getting married?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
There was a lot of breakups and a lot of, I gave it my best game one time. I met her at an audition and we were doing a mix and match for this FX series. And I was like, damn, dude, Kelly Cook out. Like back in the day was super hot.
I thought you were talking about Blossom.
No, not Blossom. Not Blossom.
Okay, so
I'm segueing to a Kua Kau story.
Okay,
real
sorry,
quick.
Just trying
real
to
quick,
keep up.
Because
yeah.
this is rad. Mm-hmm. She was like, I'm dating somebody. And it was remember those two really good looking brothers? They were singers. And they were hot for a little bit of time. It was like Evan and Jared or something like that. Like, okay. I forget who it was. And I met him in a separate event and he was really fucking cool. And I was like, oh, you know, whatever. And and he was like, oh no, we just broke up or whatever. And I was like, oh, what's the deal? And he was like, I don't know. A lot of dogs and a lot of rescue dogs and things like that. And I was like, oh, all right, now it makes sense. But then as the years went on, she got Big Bang Theory,
right.
Made all this money. I was like, how the fuck is she still single? Like that, anybody out there should go for the cash grab of that and be like, great, I'll watch the 900 rescue dogs.
Right, right.
Got married and got divorced and she just got remarried. Like
remarried, yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. With Blossom though, like fucking A.
Yeah.
That's just that type of shit doesn't happen. She's making $750 an episode. What the fuck? That's probably more than she made on Blossom.
Yeah.
That is insane to me.
But in her world, that's how it works.
I can't believe that. It is just it's so hard to find.
Meanwhile,
out.
Joey Lawrence is just a wax figure of himself.
Well,
walking around.
He did a show. What was it with? Was it him and?
Yeah, no, he was on something for a second.
Yeah,
recently,
it was like
actually.
But it didn't win. It went a few seasons.
Yeah.
I want to say it was like Melissa Joan Hart, maybe, or somebody like that.
And it was okay. It might have just been Melissa and Joey, but.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right.
That did end.
Yeah. But he's still working here and there. And, you know.
He is.
He's always doing some guest hosting shit or whatever.
But like when
either way.
When your co-star is Blossom. Do you know what I mean? When your old co-star is Blossom, you're still like. Gosh, you must be like.
But here's the deal, though. If you look at your career in the long haul, like when Blossom started, it was 1990. The fact that he's still working today, or that anybody from that cast is still working today, 28 years later, is impressive. Like shit, that's crazy. And like we were talking about with Riley on the show, like, man, do you know how many pilots you do that just don't get picked up? I mean, I've sold 5 that haven't gone past the pilot. Like that's how hard it is. Like just getting it past the pilot is fucking hard, let alone the show getting picked up. That's a whole nother thing. And then being on a hit show like Blossom or Big Bang Theory, good luck. You'd have a better shot at buying a lottery ticket and winning than getting on some for Blossom and fucking Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
That's nuts, man.
Yeah. That's winning the lottery twice.
It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
And the fucking even Galecki, the Galecki kid, Jesus, he was on Roseanne.
The Galecki kid. Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. I met him a few times. Funny dude. He's a really good guy. Poonhound, that guy.
Really?
Does really well with the ladies. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
We were at a bar one night and I watched him work in person.
Okay.
Talented. Not only a talented actor, talented in the bar scene.
Sure.
Man, that guy can, really pick up the ladies. It's
he
crazy.
He can pull some trim.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know what his body count is, but I guarantee you it's high.
Right.
Yeah. To see it in person, I was like, Jesus Christ, I didn't know. I think I even said something like, man, I would have figured it would have been the opposite with the Big Bang Theory and whatever. And he goes, no, I think it's more because people are expecting less. They're expecting you to be like your dorky character. And then when you're not in real life, you're
they're like, oh, dang.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where you're just like, oh,
jackpot.
Shit.
Jackpot.
The
yeah.
other one who does well in real life is Urkel.
But
Urkel in real life is a good looking dude.
He's a good looking dude and just looks normal. And
normal dude. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But
jacked kind of. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Same, he pulls too.
Oh yeah,
I had a dinner meeting with him, and then we went to a bar afterwards. And I was like, man, he does well for himself too. And I was like, shit, maybe that's the key to all of this. He played just like a super dork. And then afterwards, where it's just like, whoa, you are hot.
Yeah.
Hot to trot.
Yep. With money. That's that's a huge one.
Well, a big one. Real big one. That's probably the biggest one is the money.
It's the biggest one. I saw a meme the other day that was Elon Musk when he was bald back in the day. Remember?
No, was he bald?
Oh, clean. In the front? Do you remember?
No.
There's like
get out of
pictures
here.
Of him. Yeah. There's pictures of him like at his computer where they like to tell his story of him coming up or whatever.
Right.
And he's full on the starting of a bozo ring, but very, very thin in the front.
B-ring, huh?
Mm-hmm. And it was a picture of that right next to him now, which is like, you know, he looks good. He's got full head of hair.
Sure.
He's like looking good. And it's just a testament to like, no one is ugly. They're just poor. Do you know what I mean? Like if you really, really want to, and you have a shit ton of money.
That's great. That's so great. Cause it's true.
It's so true. And so sad. Like, you know, he got the Bosley, he got the transplant, he got all the stuff. He got the teeth.
For some people, it doesn't take. It doesn't take. Like LeBron James, it just did not take.
He has a lot more than he did.
Yeah, but it took
to the point where he's not going to have like a full amazing mane up there, but he definitely can like shave it up and it's a line that he can deal with in the front. Whereas before it was getting pretty far back, no? That headband was going to go all the way to the back of the head. It was pushing up there.
Yeah. While we're on the subject of LeBron here, before we get to the revolutionary figure of the week, I want to talk about this tweet by President Trump. Look, I dig Trump. I think he's doing a pretty good job in office. However, I don't agree. I wish he would just stop fucking tweeting all the way around. Like, I read this tweet about he was up Friday night, I believe it was, on Don Lemon, watching Don. Like, first of all, do yourself a favor. Don't ever watch Don Lemon. Don Lemon hates you more than life itself. So, like, if you're Trump, stop watching
Don
Lemon. And look, granted, LeBron James and Don Lemon were on, and he was talking shit about Trump. But, like, LeBron was on there promoting this new school that he opened. Trump's tweet said something to the effect of like, it's fucking Dumb and Dumber. The dumbest person on the planet is talking to the other dumbest person on the planet. And I'm a Michael Jordan guy. Not the time to do that. Not during a week.
He said something about the school too.
He didn't say anything about school. It just said during, unless there was a new one, but the tweet that I read didn't say anything about the school. It just said about these two people. And it's not the time for that. Like, I understand that LeBron hates you, and he's been very vocal about it. Obviously, Don Lemon does as well. However, during the week that LeBron James opens a school for children, when your wife is, her big push is into education, Melania. Don't do it. Just back away from that one, because that Don Lemon's on late. I want to say he's on at like 11. 11-ish at night.
Actually.
And so, you know, the fact that Trump is up watching CNN on Friday night at 11 o'clock is, look, I know he doesn't sleep anyways. I heard he only sleeps like 3-4 hours a night.
Right.
But
he was, you know, LeBron was talking about the school on Don Lemon.
Correct.
So he's hearing about this and decides to respond with, you know, interviewed by the dumbest man on television, Don Lemon, and he made LeBron look smart, which isn't easy to do.
Right.
I like Mike.
Yeah. Save it for another time, man. That's pick and choose your battles. I think a lot of the things Trump tweets about the media and this witch hunt with Russia is real. Because the media is fucking crazy biased, but know when to fucking hold them and fold them, and that's not the time, man. If I wish more people, athletes, and we talked about this a couple shows ago, we're doing things like this for the world, where it's just like, man, I at this point with the economy going so well, fucking the job numbers came in Friday, which has a big influence on the stock market in the world. Not only is this the lowest point of unemployment in Black history for Black Americans. This came out on Friday during this jobs report that is the lowest unemployment rate for Latinos in this country in history. Ride the wave of all of the positive things you're doing. rather than just following up a great story that day with a shitty one that the media can use against you for all this other shit. Like, stay off of Twitter, man. I get it with, you know, some of the investigations and all that stuff, but don't attack a guy on the week that he's opening a school when your wife is about education. And I think, because I saw this in passing right before we came on to do the show, that Melania tweeted out something saying, I stand with LeBron James and I'm amped that you open this school and I would like to be there and go and visit the school. Mm-hmm. I hope, now I'll fact check this afterwards because it just happened and we decided to go on air and I don't think I told you I was going to do this, but I hope if that is true that LeBron James takes her up on it and it would be nice to see people reaching out for the good of something else that isn't political, because schools and school systems in America need all the help they can get. So I hope for this one issue, at least she will go and visit the school. LeBron will be there and, you know, great. The hatred and all that other shit, it can kick right back into gear the next week, but I hope that actually happens.
I'll understand if it doesn't. And you know, with Trump, it's like I have to do with many people, actors, producers, whatever, is I have to separate.
Yeah.
What they do and what they, you know, are doing or what good they're doing from the person that they are.
Same.
Because there's no secret that I don't really like him as a person.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that I'm not going to like see what he's doing for something completely different than that. But
the thing is, I think Trump is a pretty good dude. I just think that all of this hatred and all of this shit is a lot. And it's, you know, fuck, man. Look, I'm not dealing with this day in and day out. We've had friends that have dealt with this intense media scrutiny just for a few months. And like, dude, it buckles you. And,
oh, yeah.
I mean, some people lose their fucking mind. I'm not saying Trump's losing their mind by any stretch, but like, you're losing your mind when you're tweeting it to Don Lemon at 11 o'clock at night.
That's just not. Yeah. I don't know.
So let people, if somebody's doing a good deed, like let that ride out. And then, you know, fuck, you want to bash him later, bash him later, bash him during the basketball season. I don't give a
shit.
Like,
for example, like Rappaport hates LeBron, right?
Right.
Hates him. They have like a full on outward whatever. When he opened the school, he was like, fuck yeah, dude.
Same.
Awesome.
Same. I think I gave the Revolutionary Figure of the Week to LeBron James.
For sure. Yeah. I'm just saying Rappaport, I think his hatred goes a little, you don't like him, but Rappaport's like got personal like issues with him. Like,
yeah.
Has had run-ins and like, you know, it's a known thing. And even he
wouldn't say hello to his kids at an event. And
it started, that's where it started. And then it just kind of spiraled from there.
Sure.
And they both were like talking shit to each other. And it was just like a whole thing to where he had to go off brand and be like, this is awesome.
It is. Yeah.
Like, I can't say shit about
it. And same here. Like, I don't like LeBron James. I don't believe, I don't agree with his political beliefs. And I don't necessarily like him as a basketball player. I liked Kobe and Jordan's games better. But there is no denying his greatness. He's probably the greatest player in the world today. I'm not saying of all time. I still got Jordan 1, Kobe 2, and him 3. But when somebody does something like this that is great, not only do you spotlight it and say, all right, congratulations, and I wish there was more people like that, but my other hatred doesn't go as deep as that towards people. Like, fuck, if LeBron James wanted to have dinner, not that this would happen, but if he did, even though I don't necessarily enjoy it, I'd go have dinner with a guy. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I get along with everybody in real life. Like, fuck, anyone. So just to at least hear their viewpoint or hear about their life.
Yeah.
I'm not that closed-minded that I would ever not do shit like that. But, and again, you spotlight the good and you spotlight the bad, and this is the bad. Like, I wish Trump would fucking back away from the goddamn Twitter, because everything else is essentially what I voted for, and everything that's getting passed and the way the country's headed economically, that's what I voted for. The other shit, though, I just fucking back away from it, man. But I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
With that being said, let's get to the Revolutionary Figure of the Day, shall we?
We shall.
This one's going out to Sherwood Schwartz. That's a hell of a name, isn't it?
Boy.
Born on November 14th, 1916 in Passaic, New Jersey. He is the creator of the Brady Bunch.
Oh.
Yeah. And this is... This is what I find fascinating too. He also created Gilligan's Island.
Why is that fascinating?
Two wildly different shows.
Not that different.
Yeah, come on.
No, it wasn't.
Dopey ass Gilligan stuck on an island. A ship crashes on an island. And then a divorced family with six kids gets together and fucking lives in a house. That's pretty different to me.
Okay.
Not to you, huh?
No, I mean, all the different personalities that were coming together on Gilligan, the professor, Marianne. Ginger. I'm just thinking of the song.
Ginger, yeah.
There was one. Oh, the captain? The captain.
The captain.
There was a captain, the fatter guy, right?
Yeah, yeah,
it was
the
captain and Gilligan.
Yeah.
And then it was Professor Marianne and
that
Ginger.
Is really drastically different than Brady Bunch. And you couldn't have spotlighted it more than
that. Well, I just think their interpersonal relationships and the things that they had to go through and stuff was kind of the same. You know, you can kind of plug different
plug and play
storylines in both.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But anyways...
And he also did the Adventures in Babysitting soundtrack. So,
soundtrack?
Yeah, this guy was super talented. Did the soundtrack for The Running Man? Jesus Christ, man!
Oh my gosh, dead right?
You have to be. He's born in 1916. Unless he's 102 today, Jabes. Come on.
I don't know. Put him on a Smuckers.
He died. He died in 2011. Put him on a Smuckers.
On
a jar?
The Today Show, they put people are 100 on the Smucker's jar.
No, he's dead.
Which is a depressing thing.
He died in 2011. And IMDb did him zero favors with this picture of him. I'm sure which was.
Is it in his last year or something?
I don't know what it is.
Was it the day before? The day before he died?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into it.
Oh, no.
Either who, man. You created two of the most iconic shows of all time that... are still playing to this day. I mean, these are, fuck, man, close to 50 years ago. And
a gay guy and some studio are still fighting over your set, bud.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how...
That's how much of a dent you made in pop culture.
Good for you.
Good for you, Sherwood Schwartz. Weird show. I have a feeling a lot of people are going to be looking up Six's torso after this.
Including you later.
Yeah.
Because you just figured out what you were into.
Gross.
Oh, you found that button, didn't you?
For Jesse Wiseman, a.k.a. The Jables, I am Ross Patterson. This is The Revolution. Good night, everyone.
Good night.